This episode is brought to you by BetterHelp. How's your social battery doing right now? I've never used that phrase, but I instantly know what it means. And I think it's interesting because it works two different ways. Some people need to have their social battery charged, and they this is the introvert extrovert thing. And some people, you know, like they've got enough energy for other people, but then it's time to sort of step away. And, you know, as we get to this part where winter is ending, which again, it's opposite. I love winter. I don't need it to end. You know, you start getting together with more people and it can be a little draining on top of every other thing that we all have going on in our lives. I just assume everybody's overburdened because I think everybody's overburdened, but it can be tough to deal with. And also one of the things is like, you can't necessarily understand why you feel that way or why it's making you tired, but it's a real thing. If you think that you could use some help with it, if you could figure out a way to make things better, therapy is a great way to help. It can give you that kind of self-awareness to know how to ride that level just right so that you feel good, you feel right. If you're thinking of starting therapy, you can give BetterHelp a try. It is entirely online. It is designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule, which is, again, we've been talking about being busy, right? You got to fit that in. You got a lunch period. You can do it during that time, whichever. That's possible. You fill out a brief questionnaire and get matched with a licensed therapist. You can switch therapists at any time for no additional charge. I like that. There is no penalty for finding the person who is right for you. Find your social sweet spot with BetterHelp. Visit BetterHelp.com/iFanboy today. Get 10% off of your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/iFanboy.
You're listening to the iFanboy.com Pick of the Week podcast, episode 85, live from Heroes Con in Charlotte, North Carolina, sponsored by YouBuyNow.com and the Netflix. And we got people here. Yeah. Wow. Hi, welcome to the iFanboy.com Pick of the Week podcast, episode 85. Like I said, we are live from Charlotte Heroes Con. I am Josh. I'm here with Ron.
Hey.
And Connor.
Hello.
And iFanboy.com, as you may know, is a site that we do because we like comics. We read them. Every week we read a whole lot of them, and we pick the one that's best, and then we write a review about it, and then we come and talk about it on the podcast among various other topics that strike our collective fancy. Before we get on, everybody listening and looking at me, if you haven't read your books yet, I'm so about to ruin some of them. We're going to talk about the books that we read in some detail. So if you haven't read them yet, you could turn off your iPod and come back later, or just plow through, because who really cares? And I believe before we go...
unfortunately, we got to bring it down a little bit before we start. Some of you may know here and listening that Daniel Robert Epstein died this week. He's a writer. He did a lot of reviews and things.
Newsarama, Suicide Girls.
Yeah, he's actually a good friend of ours, and just wanted to say, we were all proud to know him. We knew him way before any of us did comic book anything. We knew him before he was a writer. He actually started writing for iFanboy before he blew up and
went somewhere else.
Yeah, went somewhere where he can get paid, which I don't blame him at all, but he wrote some good stuff for us, and we're honored to have him part of iFanboy's history.
It was a tough week for us, and we just wanted to acknowledge that that the comics community, the whole pop culture community, is worse off for having lost him.
Yep.
So we'll miss Dan.
We will.
So now we go into the books.
All right, so so this week the pick of the week was my pick, and for those of you who went to iFanboy.com and saw what it was on Wednesday, it actually went up a little early in the day because I didn't have a lot to do on Wednesday, and it was actually Strangers in Paradise number 90. I don't know if anybody here reads Strangers in Paradise or not, or if you haven't read number 90. There's been a lot of talk about, are we going to spoil it? I know on iFanboy.com, on the forums and on the site and stuff like that, we had a lot of people concerned that we were going to spoil the ending. And my position on that is that if you're reading Strangers and you don't know how it's going to end, then you're really not reading it. Because the book has always been about these two characters, and Francine and Cachou, who were friends from, you know, who became friends when they were in high school, and the story of their lives together and apart. And it was, I'll admit, it was a hard book for me to read, and it was definitely a hard book for me to pick. It's been one of my favorite comics since 1996, It was actually my first introduction to independent comics.
This was literally before I knew Ron. Like, this was one of the first things you ever said to me when I met you a long time ago. You should read Strangers in Paradise. And I was like, dude, you shaved your sideburns. I don't know who you are.
No, but it was seriously, like, I grew up, as some people who listen to the show know, I grew up a big X-Men fan. And, you know, for years, I just knew Marvel, Marvel, Marvel. And that's all I kind of looked at. I kind of looked at the world in a what's the word I'm looking
myopic.
For? Myopic lens.
Tightly focused.
And then I discovered, oddly enough, through an article in Wizard, I discovered Strangers in Paradise, which is ironic.
Oh, I know. Oh, great bitter irony.
Yeah, isn't it? But I picked up a back issue and I just fell in love. And it was just such a, Terry Moore, the writer and artist of the book, just has written and woven such a sincere, honest kind of story of a relationship that in the comic book form, it really kind of, in my mind, transcends the medium. I mean, a lot of times we talk about comics, talk about Avengers and Superman and all these kind of things, these superhero things, but using the visual storytelling method, he told this fantastic story of friendship. And so it was always, you know, it was always about, you know, like, and issue number 90, and close your ears if you don't hear it or anything, but they end up together.
That happened in 89.
In 89,
actually,
yeah,
so.
Actually it happened. So there's really nothing to spoil.
Here's the thing. If you read the book straight through, they show you the future already, so it's actually
so
not,
we already knew what happened. Yeah. And so it wasn't so much about what happened in the book, it was how they got there. And you had to play with the
mic. I closed it. I was trying to. That's my fault.
But so, it's kind of interesting that this issue came out in this past week, because we've had a lot of endings. You know, Sopranos ending was recently, and for some reason, I'm a really sentimental kind of fool, and endings like, you know, like I mentioned in my review, I linked to the ending of The Wonder Years, which is one of my favorite TV shows, just kind of gets me in the gut every time I see it, and there's no way I can get through it without crying.
And 2 years later, Dad died.
I know, it was so sad. But this wasn't a sad ending. It was a positive ending, and it just left you with a smile on your face, and I really thought the previous issue, 89 and 88, I read on the train in New York going back home. And like I, you know, like once somebody, like the person next to me was like, "Are you okay?" Because it was like, because it gets you right in the heart.
Because when he wants to have an emotional moment, he takes a comic that he loves and he goes, "I'm going to get on the train and sit with strangers and have a good long weep,
a long cry, really in public." That's the plan.
I think everybody knows.
Yeah, exactly. No, but this issue, I didn't cry. It was just very positive. it was really cool. Anyway, but so it was just a really nice.
And then I made out with a girl. It was awesome.
It was just a really nice end to one of my favorite series, and I'm sad to see it go. But it's, you know, all good things come to an end, and the great thing is that, you know, it will live on. They're going to do an omnibus.
He's going to write novels too.
He's going to write novels on these characters. If any of you who watch our video show, which came out the past Wednesday, we were lucky enough to go to the wrap party that the Comic Book Legal Defense Fund threw for Terry in New York City. And we got to talk to him about it, and he was saying, you know, there are plans to do a 2,000-page omnibus of the entire story. So now, in addition to the issues and the trades and the pocketbooks that I have, we can add the omnibus to that.
What did you think of it?
I thought it was I really like it. I didn't know what to think when I was going in, and I gave it to my wife to read first, and she was like, "There's a lot of pages in there I would like to buy." Yes. She doesn't say things like that, so I knew that it was like. It was sort of something special, and I read through it.
I already emailed Terry saying, "Can you send me the list of pages that are for sale?"
Really?
Yeah.
Listen to him. I emailed Terry. He doesn't. Well, no. It's like he can call and be like, "This is Ron," and you go, "Oh, hey, Ray." It wouldn't be like that. It would be like, "You're who now? I fanboy." Which is that? Oh, you're that one, right? Anyway, reading through it, like especially near the last, like 4, 5, 6 pages. Like, there was just all these sort of little moments that were just nice touches. But it wasn't like a big, you know, now we've closed the door on the... Although they did literally the end of it. The very last page, I thought, was absolutely brilliant.
Yeah.
It's just, like, basically the characters look up and acknowledge you, the reader, the camera, and they shut the door on you. And it's they literally do. And it was actually really touching, but, like, the end of it was, like, over the top happy, and, like, it's just the thing they were living up to, and, like, the last line in the book is about how Francine is a stranger in paradise, and that was it. You said that was in the first issue.
Goes back. Yeah.
They, that's where they got the title from. You know, it wasn't like one of those big whiz bang.
There was no twist.
There was
an explosion.
There was nothing to.
Was it more of an epilogue than it was an ending?
Yeah.
It was an ending. I mean, it was
because all of the major things had wrapped up already, and this was, you know, you knew where it was going to go, and it was a satisfying ending. Like, did you ever see the end of like 6 Feet Under? That
yes.
sort of ending.
It reminded me. That one killed me. Oh,
right.
God, that one killed me.
Yeah, I mean, it just sort of felt like I was tied up.
Just kept on playing it over and over.
You're an emotional mess.
I am. It's sad.
Horrible.
Endings, oh, that's be nice. Endings get to me. I mean, they do. I mean, they really, you know, like they, because it's this great thing that you just want to, because I just love the shit out of it. You know what I mean? Like, I don't want it to end.
I'm really, it's been a constant in my life for a lot of years. And that's, weird, because there's nothing, the thing is, I'll take a book like Gotham Central. I love Gotham Central. Yeah. And when it was canceled, I was like, that sucks.
But life
goes on. There are going to be other crime books. There are going to be other books by Ed Brubaker and Greg Rucka. There's nothing to fill this particular void. I don't know anything like this book in film, television, novel, comic book, or otherwise. It's only that.
Yep.
So I feel a loss. Terribly worried about what comes next.
From Terry?
I mean, I don't think it'll be bad or anything, but it's just like, it's going to be like the next thing David Chase does. You'll be like, there'll be so much around it.
Right. Well, we already heard that he's going to do Mortar Girl, which is some sort of creator-owned thing. But apparently there's also rumblings he's going to do stuff for Marvel and DC. Mm-hmm. So I guess we'll find out.
He's dabbled.
So. But I don't know. It was a good book. And if you haven't read Strangers in Paradise, you know, and if the relationship comic isn't really up your alley, then forget what I'm going to say right now. But if it is, it's probably, if you ask me, it's one of the things that make comics worth reading. I mean, it's one of my favorite. I mean, I put it right. Like I said in my review, I when Strangers came out, on the rare week it came out with Uncanny X-Men in the same week, I would read Strangers first.
Because he reads the books he wants to read first. Why do the opposite?
Right. Well,
yep. I'm not judging.
Right.
There's no judging.
let's move on to something.
To something you actually read?
Yeah. I like to participate in the show.
All right, so enough of the emotion. Let's talk about the superheroes.
New Avengers 31 from Brian Bendis and Lynell Francis Yu was supposed to be big,
huge,
universe-changing ending.
Marvel warned retailers that they should order more of this issue. No, they did. I mean, because to avoid any sort of sales.
It wasn't like the day Cap 25 came out.
I know, and also they didn't release previews, so nobody knew what was going to happen in it. So.
Well, I remember Josh and I go to the store together because that's what we do, and I don't ever read the books at work because they frown.
You're supposed to work.
That's not true.
They don't.
He reads his books at work every week.
So I usually read them most anticipated last, like the opposite of what Ron does. But I went ahead and read New Avengers 31 first because I wanted to know what the last page was. I don't know.
I didn't know.
I know. Well, I called. Well, I end you during the day, and I'm like, so what happened? And he's like, I'm not gonna spoil it for you. I'm like, all right, fine. So I called you that night. I'm like, so what happened? Like, it was really subtle.
I didn't understand. and like, I'm like the one who doesn't know
anything.
I know lots of things, but it doesn't, like, I don't have an encyclopedic knowledge of this stuff. Right. Usually it was like, well, it's a Skrull, and I was like, oh, yeah, right. Because I thought she was just sucked devoid of life.
Yeah, because it did look when she...
Let's explain the last page. The last page is, well, you find out before the last page that Elektra was, in fact, a Skrull the entire time they were fighting. And then on the last page, Jessica's baby may be a Skrull.
Because it had green eyes.
There
was a whole thing about, like, red around the eyes in this issue that kept showing up.
Yeah.
But, like, the first, in the beginning,
jaundice.
It's not a life-changing Marvel thing. It's just that the baby has a mild condition that it needs some inflammatory.
Hepatitis.
Yeah.
And Doctor Strange is in Japan. So
Billy Rubens. It's not bad.
But, I mean, it's important to note. I mean, this ties into what's going on, I think. And this is one thing I didn't really say out loud, and I wish I did months ago. But I had a feeling that the Illuminati miniseries that's going on right now would have important effects of the retcon variety, perhaps. Right.
And we have an announcement to make about iFanboy.
iFanboy is
pro-retcon. Anything they want to change in the past,
change it.
Do it.
Makes it interesting.
Totally fine with that.
Yeah, nothing's canon. Everything's open to change.
Who are you?
I don't know. No, I like the retcon. I like this idea because the idea basically being that they're going. If you're not reading the Illuminati, you should because not only is Bendis, I think, writing some great stories,
but apparently very important.
Jimmy Chung's art is fantastic in that book. But what they're doing is going back to seminal moments in Marvel history and showing kind of in between the panels or in between the pages of...
Which you love that stuff.
I love that stuff. But of stuff that, like, Professor Xavier, Doctor Strange, Iron Man, Mr. Fantastic, and Black Bolt and Namor did kind of behind the scenes and kind of a controlling thing. And in the first issue, there was a skirmish with the Skrulls. And basically, way early in the Marvel Universe history, kind of gave the Skrulls a reason to not like Earth.
Right.
And so now this ties into what happened here is that apparently it begs the question. So Elektra gets killed and we find out that she's a Skrull. My immediate thought was, oh God, who else in the Marvel Universe is a Skrull? Which then leads it basically Marvel has now become Battlestar Galactica.
Yes.
Right? Because it's like, who's a Cylon?
Can I just make a point? I don't ever want to see the Elektra death again.
The stab.
He's done it like four times in this series so far, and it was on the cover and then in the interior of this now.
Yeah.
I get it. It was really nice, Frank Miller.
Yeah.
Let it go.
I agree.
Now, one of the things, just a minor point, is that I read this one, and Lanil Yu's art, some people love it and some people hate it, and I've been really good with it. I thought he was a little loose this time.
I love it. I'm loving it with every issue.
I figure at this point he's just gesticulating wildly, and there's just it's sketchy lines everywhere.
It's got a fluidity to it, and it's got, like, movement with
it. A lot of kinetic energy in it.
I thought the, and this is so obvious and so lame to even say, but the Hawkeye-Spider-Man banter was a lot of fun. I don't know. I mean, that's a gimme, right?
Yeah, but I
liked it.
I'm just ready for them to move on beyond this ninja storyline.
Yeah, it feels like they've been fighting ninjas for a really long time now, and they're just like, there's a lot of ninjas. That's the joke. I understand. there are a lot of ninjas. Wow. Let's get on with it.
But so big ramifications from Marvel Universe. But the thing is that a lot of people were questioning what are they, and a lot of people are judging it, saying
everybody's like, this is gonna suck. I'm like, you don't know anything yet.
It hasn't happened.
There's one page at the end with some baby's eyes.
Yeah.
They've damned the entire Marvel. It's over now. Ultimate's taken over.
But I gotta say, if we're leading up to like a huge company wide crossover of like Skrull War, like that, sign me up. I'm there. I'll buy every issue of that crossover. That's a lot of fun.
No, that's enough crossover.
Yeah.
Just let the book be for a while. Let it breathe. But no, they can't do that. But you know what? It's still fun. This is what comic books are. How much fun was it when this book came out and everybody on the internet is still like,
yeah,
you know,
something to talk about.
Yeah.
So.
Is everybody still on Countdown 46?
What do you mean, still on?
Are you buying it?
Oh, yeah, I still buy it. Yeah, absolutely.
It's got 52 earned me enough that I know I've got to let it go. If I'm 20 issues in, then A, I've spent $60, and I don't like it, then I'll drop it. But, like, I'm going to give it a chance to treat it like a novel. Like, I didn't. I mean, I went and bought all the 52s, but I wasn't giving. We were by 15, and we're like, this is stupid. What are we going to? And then I'll,
The price really sticks with you, doesn't it?
I know.
Every time you bring up Countdown, it's always about the price.
If they didn't up the cover charge, you'd think you'd be a lot more supportive.
Well, no, but it's funny. But like I just said, I'm willing to give this a shot. Yeah. It's $60 for, I don't know, what it's collectively going to be, like 8 minutes of time. You know.
Well, that's what they all are. Look at the prices.
I don't want to talk about
that. These are more expensive than this one.
It comes into stark relief when you're talking about a weekly book, though. I mean, like, if you think about it, well, they don't care. Like, they will go into the comic shop and be like, I'll buy whatever, $100. I got it. It's fine.
Give me that statue. Okay,
I'm such a cheap ass when it comes to comics. I don't want to buy comics, so I do. But I bitch about it.
It's a good quote.
Yeah. So, but anyway, I think that it's starting to get its legs. I'm starting to kind of feel the direction the story's going to go in.
Mm-hmm.
Are you having any trouble with this, not being as DC-centric as...
Oh, no, I'm having no... Yeah, since I'm not a DC guy, but I'm just flowing with it. I'm just riding with it. Anything, you know, like, nothing has confused me to the point where I don't understand it.
Mm-hmm.
You know? I'm not terribly invested yet, but...
How old is Jimmy Olsen?
Older than the dirt.
Right.
He's been around forever.
Yeah, and he looks like 18 in the book.
Well... That's comic book age. You know not to get into that.
And is the red hood, is that like a cloth hood, or is that, I look at it like a plastic helmet.
Well, it shatters in the
pieces. So it's hard.
It's
so it's not so much a hood.
No.
Okay, I was just
it's
saying.
It's not literal.
Right. Does an audience make you go off on tangents?
No.
I was going to say, it's like I'm not terribly invested in any of these characters yet, but I wasn't invested in anybody in 52, and then at the end I was like, I need more Black Adam!
Yeah.
When he showed up in this, I was totally happy. So this looks like I think the Black Adam or whatever she's Black Mary Marvel.
Mary Marvel.
Yeah, I know, but she's
is she a Black Mary now or is that?
I don't know, something like that.
Is
I don't think
drink,
she has
Black
that name.
Mary? Bloody Mary.
The tangents.
Sorry.
I'd say that's the one that I'm most invested in right now. That's the one that I'm interested in seeing.
Which is your early Steel storyline?
I'm getting tired of the Rogues.
I love the Rogues.
I get it.
I like the Rogues just hanging out.
Well, that's the problem is there's no plot.
You know what I love? I love the Rogues hanging out in the diner in their costumes.
Yeah, I know. It's just
like, doesn't anybody notice that they're hanging out, these guys in their costumes, just like, getting like a milkshake?
They're in like the diner from Back to the Future 2.
Vote for Mayor Goldie Wilson. The art, I thought, in Countdown was really good, though, this week.
It's by Jesus Saez.
Yeah.
Jesus, I don't know how to say his name at all. He's the Checkmate penciler. Yeah. I'm still good with it. I don't love it. It's not my favorite thing. I'm not.
Were you on? Oh, sorry.
Well, we can go there if you want.
You want to?
Well, no.
We're just done with Countdown. We've counted. It's down.
So you go here.
Yeah. So I didn't bring my books with me, so that that's why we don't have it. But Josh, you want to talk about number three?
Oh,
did you bring it? Awesome,
dude. This book's good.
I told you.
I know. We totally, and like every time, this is horrible, okay? Because there's people who listen to like your recommendation. Every time Ron comes and tells you, you got to read this, it's the greatest thing. I'm like, I never like it when he says that. Because my whole life is him telling me I should go see movies that he loved when he was 16 and that I don't care about. Like the amount of times that he's like tried to guilt me for not really caring to have to see Real Genius. Like
that. You haven't seen Real Genius?
Thank you. Thank you.
I just don't care.
It's like a prerequisite.
We have different tastes.
How could you not like Real Genius?
You don't like the Royal Tenenbaums, which I think is...
All right, tangent. Hello. So I recommend it. So I'm a big Nova fan.
He said to read Nova. I was like, all right, whatever. And then when he picked the second one, for some reason, I was like, I will buy them. I don't know what I was thinking, but I went and bought Nova 1 and 2. I was like, these were a lot of fun. And this third one was great.
Yeah.
This was one of the best books I read this week. And it's one of the only ones that in the post-Civil War Marvel universe is, like, it's cool. Like, it's Nova basically going, what is wrong with all of you people?
Yep, and then as we predicted, he said, I'm out of here. And just flew back into space.
So, I mean, I
screw you guys.
It's true, like, he couldn't stick around Earth anymore because there was nowhere to go with that story unless he joined the Initiative, which, you know.
And I think if they had him done anything other than that, we wouldn't have bought it. Mm-hmm. And even he said it in the book. He's like, do you realize what's going on here doesn't mean anything in the cosmic scale of things? Because it's like when you know about something much bigger than what was going on around you.
Yeah.
You know, and he's trying to make that point to Iron Man. And Iron Man's not hearing any of it. So, because he's drunk with power. Drunk with power.
Well, he's a Skrull.
Oh, yeah, he's a Skrull. Yeah, exactly. Holy shit. Is Tony Stark going to be a Skrull?
That's what Bendis was alluding to in the interview. Bendis did an interview where
it all just made sense.
Where
to me.
He mentioned
just then,
that
it just all clicked.
The Skrulls had captured the Illuminati.
Yes,
and there was no indication of how long they were held for, or if everybody who got out was actually in fact one of them.
So Tony Stark could be a Skrull.
That's what could piss people off because then the Civil War happened for quote unquote nothing.
Because then the Skrull's an alcoholic. Because that happened after that issue of Illuminati.
Well, you got on a clone saga.
He blew my mind.
Rabbit hole. Then.
Yeah, you do. Yeah.
When does 52 take place?
what year is it in 52? But Nova's a good pick. I mean,
the other thing I dug about this too is Penance is stupid, but at least in here, like he was like he took his mask off and he talked, and I was like, all right, there's a person under there, and I think there's a chance that he could not be a weenie forever.
Yeah.
Like, there was just a little of, like, this is the character that it was, I mean, for the 9 Speedball fans, there were.
There are more than 9.
No, but, I the fact that I don't like Penis makes me want to like Speedball.
All right. Speedball is great. I love Speedball.
Did I say Penis? I might have. How does he see through that thing?
Yeah, so Nova's still early. It's issue number 3. You can probably still find
This was, like, the end of the arc. The one last thing is I thought that the family dynamic was so much fun.
If you like the family dynamic, you have to read the Nova Essential from the 70s because it's all just him getting into arguments with his parents. It's hysterical.
Then you need to watch Real
that
Genius.
That sounds great. I like 3 pages of it now. He's talking to you by a 500-page black and white book of arguing with your parents. Oh, this is awesome.
Green Arrow ended this week.
Green Arrow number 75. The series is now
off
over.
That, right?
I'm off. I kind of wish I hadn't.
You blew it.
You totally blew it.
This is one of the best superhero books
it's over now.
The last few years.
Well, it's over. Apparently it wasn't that great.
Well, they have plans for it. They're going to take it in a direction.
You know what's awesome? The Thing. Oh, well. Yeah. Blade. Ooh.
What did you think of it?
I really liked it. I mean, it not only did it wrap up the whole plot line of the 1 year later, Star City, Green Arrow being mayor. Yeah.
Beautifully, by the way.
Beautifully. Well done. Well done. And the good guys won. You know, the great fight with Deathstroke the Terminator and that dude with the sunglasses who I still don't know who he is who fights in a suit.
Yeah.
How do you fight in a suit? I can barely function at a wedding. And, like, this guy's there fighting. He's in a complete suit. It's amazing. I need jeans.
You need a tailor.
Yeah, that's probably a good point. I should spend more than $100 on a suit. But
I've seen his suit. It's like... it's like burlap.
Anyway, but I thought it ended really great, and then the cliffhanger of him proposing to Black Canary and not telling us what she said, and making us tune into the Black Canary Mini, which I was going to buy anyway.
Right.
But still.
Well, for me, I'm reading this book and thinking, wow, I'm really going to miss for the time being Judd Winnick writing Oliver Queen, because...
He not necessarily isn't writing him.
For the time being.
Right. But
until it comes back again, I'm going to miss it every month, because he's so much fun writing Oliver
Queen. Do you think that it's going to come back as like a Green Arrow Black Canary book?
Yes.
Yeah.
That's just my theory.
That was my guess, too.
The only thing I didn't like necessarily about the book was the...
Justice League
coming in and saving the world.
Yeah, that was a little... Ham-hocked.
But...
What does that mean?
I don't know
what
ham-hocked
means. Ham-handed, I believe.
Ham-handed, yeah, that's what it was. ham-hock you eat, right? Or something? Yeah.
This is just a fun... It's just fun.
I mean, for the past year or two, it's been just a great, consistent read. You know, and McDaniel's art is just great.
This is like a wall-to-wall action film.
Yeah, it really is.
And but you're looking forward to Green Arrow Year One.
Oh, man. That's like... That ad makes me excited, and that doesn't happen too often. Like when they take one image and there's a new image that you showed me the other day.
Yeah.
Oh, it's so good.
It's gonna be good. It's gonna be good times.
I can't wait to see Lane Staley as Oliver Queen. That was an Alice in Chains joke. Huh.
So, world. Speaking, we talked about crossovers a little earlier. World War Hulk kind of got into full gear this week with World War Hulk number one.
I bought this.
Did you see your boy get his ass kicked?
I didn't like this.
Josh is a big fan of Black Bolt, leader of the Inhumans, and Hulk.
I didn't buy that.
Served
him. I didn't buy that at all. He's
angry with rage. Nothing's gonna stop him.
I didn't, but I felt that they actually explained it away fairly well.
Yeah,
he's really pissed off.
Yeah,
which is, you know, okay, it's fine.
This is brilliant. I love it. This is the 40 years of the Hulk has been leading up to.
My problem is reading the book is there's no way out of it.
The Hulk can't win.
We don't know.
And he also can't lose because the way they have it set up.
The one problem I had with it was that everybody, let's forget Civil War and our differences. Spider-Man, come help out.
He's like, okay, yeah. Yes. Like, you know, I was like, everyone like, hunting these people down. Like, and then Optimus Stark comes along. And what the hell is that? Right.
No, I understand in a moment of crisis that they're going to help out and they're going to do what they need to do to save the city.
It was just
but like, they're not going to sit around and talk like as if he's like, okay, boss. You know, like it's far too.
I was reading this book and I thought, you know what? This is silly, but halfway through I decided I'm just going to switch off my brain. Mm-hmm. I just go with it.
Right.
It doesn't make sense.
I did the same thing, too.
It doesn't make sense. A lot of the stuff that's happened, the Hulk can't lose the way they've set it up. Black Bolt would never go down like that. Spider-Man would never be back with Iron Man and Luke Cage and all these people.
Yeah. They wouldn't ignore what happened.
Right. I'm just going to turn my brain off and have fun with it, because when I did that, it was then a lot of fun.
Yeah.
Did you guys think that Romita was up to snuff on this one? Like, was something off?
I don't think Klaus Janson's inks benefit him.
I'm going to go with that. And it's not that anything's bad. It just doesn't seem
something is off.
It wasn't as good as the other people.
Eternals, and it wasn't as good as Fallen Sun.
The action scenes were all doing pretty well. A lot of the faces and stuff just look kind of odd, and I don't know why that is. Because, I mean, as we've been talking about lately, like, we are all, you know, you can't get enough of Romita Jr.
Yeah.
And it was a little odd. So
I don't like Talking Hulk.
Oh, I like Talking Hulk. I've always liked Talking Hulk. You like rageful Hulk.
I like rageful, barely.
As he gets more mad and more strong, his intelligence should devolve. That's how I would do it.
Well, you're not doing it.
Because the more angry, isn't that true though? Is it? I'm sitting up like I would do it. My opinion so doesn't matter.
No, I mean I like the thing that he's got the motivation. The thing is like you almost think that like he can get over the fact that they sent him off into space and got rid of him. Like he's pissed about that. He's like, but on top of that, you killed my girl.
He's wearing a headband though.
He was on a gladiator. He's got a sleeve of spikes.
Why does he need that?
I don't, because it's Gladiator War. He's the Green Star.
It's just for aesthetic effect?
I didn't read any Planet Hulk, so I don't know what happened.
Yeah.
But
I get the idea.
Yeah.
They said it 100 times in this issue.
Right, yeah.
He went somewhere, he was a slave, then a gladiator. It was the movie Gladiator.
Yeah.
You know what, though? I really want to know how they're going to get out of this.
Yeah.
It's a good question. I mean, because they've wrecked Manhattan like 100 times in the last...
Again with the nanites.
Yeah.
Every problem in the Marvel Universe is solved with nanite technology now. Like we've got nanobots that are going to depower them. But how is She-Hulk back in her powers? I thought she lost her powers.
I thought that too.
Yeah.
Oh. I don't know.
But lest we get, because this would be the kind of thing we get angry emails about. I'm going to read it. I had fun with it. It was fun. It was what it was supposed to be. It doesn't really make a whole lot of sense with everything, but let that go and
have
fun.
I have to say, I'm shocked that you guys are buying it. I thought I was going to be all alone.
I told you I was buying it. I bought the last.
I don't know what the hell came over me.
He picked up the store, and I did a double take.
Oh, wow. Yeah.
He didn't say anything, though, because he didn't want to scare me off.
No. But did you actually do the double take? You did that?
No, I actually did the double take, because... Yeah.
So the other Hulk crossover that happened this week was...
Crossover's loose.
was Franklin Richards, Son of a Genius. World be warned, it's Franklin Richards, Son of a Genius. Wanted to quickly talk about this because it's done... I don't know if anybody's reading this or if you'd be into it or not, but it's by Chris Eliopoulos and Mark Sumerak. I think I'm pronouncing that correctly. They've been doing a couple of one-shots so through like, pretty much quarterly with these, and I happen to really like it. It's very simple, and it's kind of aimed, it's kind of younger and that sort of thing. It's Franklin Richards, you know, the kid of the Fantastic Four, and his robot Herbie who watches over him, that sort of thing. And it's a bunch of little short, little five-page vignettes, little stories that take place in that world. We get a lot of questions about, okay, you know, I've got kids or there are kids in my life that I want to read comics, and sometimes we falter on that question, and we're morons because we should say, read this book.
That you know, it's true. Like, I can't. I've had a lot of people like, what should I get for kids? And I have no answers. Maybe because I don't buy kids' books too often. But you know, like the thing is, here's what's great about this book, and it's kind of horrible, but it's like a gateway drug.
Yeah.
In that, like, you can give this to kids, and they'll smoke crack later. No, they. Like, if this gets them interested in other superhero stuff, like, all of a sudden you've got, you know, and it's easy to hook kids on Marvel Comics. We all were.
Yeah.
Some of us less.
But it's easy to get hooked on DC, too.
Yeah, I mean, no, yeah. But this is like, well, who's that? Why is this? You know, and then right. You can go out and, you know, can get. Thing is, even if today's comics are going to be too complicated for kids, is like, there's a bajillion archives and back issues of things of Fantastic Four you can get, and like those are great comics to just sort of get involved in the Marvel universe.
Right, and even if that's not the point, these are just kind of fun.
They're funny.
Yeah, like the one page where Franklin creates a black hole in his bedroom,
yeah,
and it sucked up the page, and you could see through to the next to the
page
nice. Behind it. I thought that was great. It took me half.
I just understood that.
Yeah,
just now.
Yep, I was like, what is that? I'll just move on.
But it's okay. A lot of fun, and if there are any kids in your life or anything, I think that this is a good book to give them.
Utterly safe.
Yeah.
You know, there's not.
Yeah, it's a lot, just fun, and I'm you know, I'm a simple person. It's just,
yep.
Yeah.
The lettering is excellent because it's
he actually gets somebody else to letter it.
No, he doesn't.
No, I'm kidding.
It says Art and Letters by Chris Eliopoulos, who's the main letterman in the world.
Yeah.
You need letters done. Like, he'll do your mailbox, but it'll be really expensive.
So the last weekly book we want to talk about this week, actually I don't have on hand because I didn't bring my books, but it's Black Diamond number 1, published by AIT Planet Lar, and written by Larry Young, who is the publisher of that book, and art by John Proctor. And I picked up this book because it's such a great concept, and I don't think you guys picked it up either, but the idea is that it's kind of somewhat in our time, but kind of like an alternate timeline where... Like, terrorism got so bad that they just stopped allowing air travel, and so the government built a huge interstate above the world, and it's called the Black Diamond, and it goes from coast to coast, and so the world kind of becomes separated between the ground and this highway, and the concept is that this guy's wife lives in D.C., and they're separated across the country, and his wife has been kidnapped, and nobody can help him, so he jumps in a hot rod, and he's got to get to Baltimore really quickly. And it's just like a 70s car movie, but in this kind of thing. And it's a bitchin' car. And it's just a great concept. And it's like, and the whole story is going to take place as he's driving cross country. And
there's a TV show like this?
I don't. Was it Drive? Was that it? Yeah.
Kidnapping, drive cross
was,
country.
I didn't. It got canceled. Yeah. Yeah. So anyway, but it was a lot of fun. John Proctor's art was really good. I've only seen little bits and pieces of his art. I've never actually seen a full book that he's done. Mm-hmm. But I don't know. It's a fun indie book. So
you're like showing off your indie stuff lately. You're like, I picked up all these books. You're making me look bad.
Because that guy wrote in saying I had no indie cred.
Like, we get that. We haven't gotten that in a while. It was the one.
So anyway, so Black Diamond number 1. It was a lot of fun. It was a good pickup. So,
kids books. Some more kids books. They're kids books.
Oddly kids books.
The Minx line from DC, when it was first announced,
we were fairly critical.
Yeah.
I wasn't.
Yeah, you were?
No, yeah. I pretty much put myself out there saying that I didn't like the name.
No,
yeah,
I was...
No, he was quiet. He was quiet.
I didn't have a problem with it.
It was me, yeah.
I said...
I thought making a like line of comics for girls, calling it Minx, was a little questionable. But like for teen girls, that sort of thing. And... But I started hearing really good things about the first book, The Plain Janes, by Cecil Castellucci and Jim Rugg. And so I picked it up. And you picked it up too.
Yeah, I did
right?
too. Yep.
And then this past week, The Regifters, the second book from the line by Mike Carey, one of Josh's favorite writers. And who did the art?
I don't know the artist, but the team, Sunny Liu or Mark. I don't know. It says Sunny Liu and Mark Hempel, but I don't know who does which. Art by Sunny Liu and Mark Hempel, so I assume that's some sort of team. Penciling, inking consortium. These guys did a mini-series for Vertigo called My Faith in Frankie with Mike Carey 3 years ago, something like that, which was great. It was a great little story that actually could have fit into this line, I think. So that was good, but I didn't read this, so I won't talk about it.
So, yeah, so in always trying to admit that we might be wrong or whatever, I picked it up, and I love both these books a lot. They were great.
Ron also has, I would say, you like stuff that's aimed for 16-year-old girls.
Well, I... Harken back to Strange of Paradise. I mean, I like, along with World War Hulk and smashing things, I like the kind of slice of life, kind of, those kind of stories, and...
He's upset about the turn that Gilmore Girls took.
No, he was. He stopped watching.
I stopped watching.
I stayed till the end, man. Anyway, nonetheless.
Who are we?
But so,
I don't know, dude.
The Plain Janes is a great story about,
It's a girl who's outcast. She moves from the city to the suburbs, and she's got no friends, and she finds a misfit group of Janes. They're all named Jane.
And they attack their town with art. They do all these kind of neat little living art installations and stuff like that, and leave it as a mystery as to who's doing it. And the police
looks like an Oni book.
It's great art. Could have put this book out. Yeah, and the main character you just adore by the end of it. She was adorable, and then The Regifters this week was
like a fun kung fu story.
Yeah,
it was about a little teenage girl who she's in love with her kung fu partner. She's in a class, and then
it was very Karate Kid.
Yeah, kind of.
That reminded me because it takes place in L.A.
And there's a kung fu tournament at the end, and then the
bad guy turns on his master.
No.
And then he leaves him in shame. And then in the next book, it's going to take place in the parking lot directly after that.
Yes. That blew my mind when that came out. I'm like, it's right after the first movie.
But it's been a year. It was the same thing as with 52. His parents are like, shut up.
No, but it was a fun book, and it was like kind of teeny romance.
This one totally captured the teen angst about you have a crush on someone, but you can't talk to them, and they like somebody else.
They ask you about that other person, and it just burns.
Out, yeah.
So we're learning something about Mike Carey,
that he is a good writer,
which he said that to me, so I guess I was wrong about Mike Carey. He's good. I was like, I know.
And I was like, that Mike Carey can write. And he got all mad at me. He's like, I've been telling you that because X-Men is not good.
I don't think that mainstream superhero comics are his strong point. Lucifer was awesome the whole way through. I mean, Hellblazer was really good when he was on it. His new series, Crossing Midnight, is excellent.
Yep.
But I read those X-Men. I didn't like them, and I haven't read the Ultimate Fantastic Four, but I don't think those went over incredibly well.
Not so much that people... Normally when something's really good and we don't talk about it, people write it and tell us, why aren't you reading this?
Yeah.
And that leads us to the audience helps us pick out what we should read, and nobody's really said that about Ultimate Fantastic Four. And watch, now we're gonna get inundated with emails.
Oddly enough, Mike Carey's sort of best, his strength is teenage girls, because one of the main characters in Lucifer, other than Lucifer, was Elaine, who I can't say what happens to her, but she's a young girl who ends up with a lot of responsibility and power, and that was one of the strongest touch points in that, because this huge story about gods and powerful beings and stuff like that, but that had a human element.
But what I find interesting is contrast that with a teen.
It's completely different.
Yeah, it's a completely different direction.
Yeah.
And I think that's fascinating. I mean, that's really...
I wanted to ask you, because I haven't talked to you about this yet. What did you think of the ending?
It was a little convenient.
Did you think it was weird that she ends up... The main character ends up picking somebody to date. Do you think her choice was strange?
I feel like he ran out of pages. I feel like he laid out this whole plot, and the same thing happened. He's like, oh, crap, I got to end it. And it just ended in one page, literally one page. I thought that was a little...
That's happened to me every time I've tried to write anything. And it's not because I ran out of pages. It was because I don't know what to do. I'm going to close the doors and get out quickly.
But it was very kind of like TV drama ending kind of thing, which is,
But if you've got a daughter or sister or something, they're just great main characters. I mean, both of these main characters are really, strong will, very independent.
Well, my original question was, I kind of like these books. What does that say about me? And no, but it was funny because a friend of ours works at a comic book store, and he's like, unfortunately, no teen girls are buying these books. It's all dudes over 25, like you or my. And it's like, I don't know what that says. But the next one that's coming out is written by Andy Watson and drawn by Josh Howard, who did Dead at 17.
I like
Andy Watson.
That's
going to be really good. And anything Andy Watson does, I'll go.
What is Josh Howard? Isn't he doing a bunch of books?
No, there's a Jason Howard.
Oh, that's right. Yeah. The Wolfman thing?
Yeah.
Keep doing that.
And the art looks very similar. Yeah. And I don't think they're related.
Nope.
Yeah. So.
Maybe. I don't know. We're guessing at this point.
Yeah. It's just purely, we know nothing. But they're really good. So, I mean, I don't know if it's your cup of tea. Check them out. But,
hey, let's advertise.
Sure.
Okay, how about the Netflix? The show is brought to you by Netflix, and you can go there and sign up for a free trial. And they have plans starting as low as $4.99. There are no late fees ever. Free shipping both ways. They have, did I say two-week trial? Okay, I did that. I suck at this part. But we've all got it. You can, if you sign up for it, you got to go to www.netflix.com/ifanboy. And then you can friend us using our email addresses and see how many movies we have in common that we like.
And thus render my Netflix account useless.
Oddly enough, despite what I said about Ron, we have a lot in common.
We do. In movies, not in comics.
No, nothing.
So, anyway.
So normally this is where we go to listener mail, but if anybody here has any questions, there's a
microphone. We have a mic. I don't know if anybody has any questions for us or for the group or anything.
Comic book questions, anything. One. No one can see you, so that's less
important. Yeah, it's important to...
It's anonymous.
All right, excellent. So tell us your name and where you're from and the question.
Yeah, my name is Jim Burns. I'm from Atlanta, Georgia. And if those books are for 25-year-old men... What is a good book for, like, a 15-year-old? I have a 15-year-old daughter.
Well, these are for your daughter.
I know they're supposed to be, but...
No, they actually are. No, I would say they really are.
I
mean, you have a 17-year-old sister. Would you give them to her?
I tried.
she reads...
She called you a dork and threw them back.
She was doing this. She was texting three phones at once.
She was on IM. Yeah.
I'm actually curious. They literally
are for teenage audiences. They're good for teenage audiences.
And that's what they're meant for, and they're being pushed in the bookstores and stuff like that. I mean, it just because they are by DC Comics, and because we absorb anything that's sequential art storytelling, you know, that's why we pick them up. And the writers that we know about, but they are meant for those that age group. So,
but I think they also transcend to other age groups.
Yeah.
I mean they're directed towards your daughter's age group, but I think you can enjoy them too if you read them.
And Cecil Castellucci, who wrote The Plain Jane, she's a young adult writer. She writes young adult novels. So while Andy Watson is a comic book writer, Cecil Castellucci is actually, this is what she does for a living. So it's, you know.
Your sister likes Why the Last Man too, right? I mean, she actually does read that. Yes. So while the subject matter is a little bit mature, you know, 15-year-old kids now are not shrinking violence.
It's not like cheesy kids books because
isn't insulting to them.
Girls that age don't want to be given like kids books. So these are young adult books that don't seem like it.
They don't talk down to them.
It's very much not. They don't talk down to them at all.
Yeah. Cool.
No, they're good. I think you should give it a try.
I think either of them or both
either,
would
either,
be great.
Would work.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So.
And obviously, if we get people to buy them, they'll make more.
Yeah.
Yeah, no, it's a line worth supporting, I think.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, no, I'm doing a complete 180 on the Minx line. I'm all about it now.
You started to get up before. Yeah, one of you two.
Wow, that was very... I'm shocked. All right, go ahead. Oh, great, excellent.
I got one about the podcast.
Oh, sure, yeah. All right, so name and where you're from.
All right, so I'm Kalen. Yeah, I know it's weird. From Green Creek, North Carolina, smallest town ever. And
8 people.
Yeah, indeed.
Oh, wow.
7.5.
Jim's real short.
Indeed. But, yeah, so do you guys actually know Daryl personally? he calls in like every 2 seconds.
For anyone who might be a new listener to the show, we get voicemails, and we have a caller who calls in Daryl from New York City, and we actually have met him. We met him at the New York Con this past February.
He's not like
somebody who we did know ahead of time. He's not like
he's not like a buddy of ours.
Not like the interns. Yeah. Daryl's not an intern.
Yeah.
That's important to note.
Yeah.
No. Daryl showed up on the website like right away, like second or third podcast in when we were like, oh my god, there are people listening. Like we were like 40 people downloaded it. That's amazing. and like his all of his first posts were just that book was terrible. How could you pick that?
He gets very mad at us.
Yeah.
Which is great that he keeps listening, which is awesome.
He's the nicest guy in person.
And because at first we're like, what an asshole. Who is this guy?
Well, you were.
I know. I get really in.
Doesn't take criticism very well.
Yeah. Yeah. No, but like, but then after a little while, I was like, oh, he's just messing with us. Yeah. And so then it got to be funnier. And then when he started calling,
it
like,
was great.
It was like a game.
Yeah.
And then we looked on like some message board that he posts on. He doesn't post on our message board anymore.
Which is
somewhere else.
Hysterical.
And he'd been like, yeah, I'm a regular on that show. So we have to send him checks.
No, but he came with his son. And
he was so non-threatening.
Yeah.
Very friendly. There's video of that.
Did we hear his voice? Is that
Yeah. Well, he came over and said hi, and we knew instantly who it was.
Yeah.
Yeah, but looking at him, we didn't
Josh
know
Josh ducked.
Was, but yeah, no. No, but he's good. But he takes his comics very seriously.
Cool. So. Thanks, guys.
We don't know him. Yeah.
And we have nothing in common, taste-wise.
Right, yeah.
Like, oh, you know what? He turned us on to Checkmate.
He did, yes.
He did. Yeah, he did. I owe that to him.
And if you're not reading Checkmate, you should. It's one of the best books being published right now by DC. So
it needs the help. More?
Anybody else? This is like school.
If it sucks, don't worry. We'll just cut it out.
Yeah.
Yeah, really.
Not exactly a question, more as a statement. I asked Dan Zito what year it is in the DC universe. He says it's 2007.
That's
yeah, but last year he said it was 2006, so it's hard to say exactly what year it could be. Either way, I think you should buy all these books.
I totally stole that from John Suntress.
I like the Dio. He's a good guy. So, yeah, no, but that's our stock answer. Yeah, that drove me crazy last year. Anyway,
it's over now.
I still feel like they abandoned the 1 year later thing.
Yeah, they didn't.
They did. It was like
I'm not having this argument again.
Like 2-3 months and then it was gone.
We can't talk about this now.
Time caught up to the books. There's not one you later.
No, I feel like there's a gap. Anyway.
There was a gap. It was filled with 52.
I know, but then things don't.
There's
add
a gap.
Up.
There's one in every mall in the country. They sell nicely priced clothing.
Things just don't add up, though. Like, what happened when they built the wall in Star City? I want to know about that. They didn't cover that in 52.
They can't talk about everything.
Well, I'd like everything.
I want everything.
All right, well, we came prepared with a couple emails in case the questions dried up in the room, which is fine. So our first
email, you all feel slightly guilty.
Our first email comes from Bo from Chicago, who writes in saying, here's a question about how do we decide what books to keep? Since he came back to comics, him and his wife try to keep their current collection down to 5 or 6 small boxes of single issues. He tries to wait for trades, but damn it, he likes his weekly pile. And they're preparing to move, and they've come across a big crossroads. What to sell on eBay, what to hoard away for his baby boy, and what to, and basically how to manage his collection. He knows that we live in the New York City area where space is a bit of a commodity, so he wants to know how we handle our collections, basically.
Well, I'm a self-made millionaire, actually. People don't know that about me. I have a 14,000-foot loft, so it's not a problem. I keep everything.
You went through all your books, and you culled out most of them.
No, not most. I'd say I had... Before I moved from Los Angeles to New York last year, I had maybe 14 or 15 long boxes worth, and I sold off about three or four. And basically, I brought them in. I asked my retailer. I said, you take these for trade or anything? And he's like, a nickel a book. And I was like, okay. So it's a bit of a loss in my vest. But I went through, and I just took the stuff that I didn't really like the first time through, like, you know, the books that you buy that didn't really make an impact on you. It ended up being like 3 boxes of stuff, and I ended up with like $100 in credit or something like that. Yeah. But it was funny because I don't have a lot of sentimental attachment to my stuff in the thing of it, and I know that I'm not going to go through, but I got to the point and I was like, I can't get rid of these.
Yeah.
You know, I can't draw the line somewhere. No, I totally did. There's,
well, as much as you try to not be attached to
it, I know. There's this innate, like, I don't bag and board, I don't do anything, but like, my wife put something down, like her elbow, on a comic book the other day, and I jump up like a dog with its tail stepped on. No! And it's a reflex reaction. I'm so not answering his question.
Yes, you did. You called through and you sold
them. Yeah, you called.
Yeah, I mean, but I got
rid of... what'd you do with the boxes? Because they're not in your apartment.
They're my mother-in-law's. Under some stairs. And they're in... These guys hate my system of organization, or lack thereof. Like, you just open up and the books are sort of randomly in there. Look at Ron is rubbing his temple right now.
It hurts.
They come to my house and they look at my DVDs and they just want to rip them all out and start over.
He's got his
just alphabetize them?
He's got his DVDs organized by like
genre.
But like not though. Like genres of like shark movies. Like not like action. It's just like, you know, like movies we liked in 2002. It's just like, it's like, it doesn't make any sense.
The more you talk about it, the more I love my system. I'm like, it's funny because if I go down it, I can tell you where everything is. And I'm like, well, those are my gangster movies about like the mob. And then under that are cowboy movies because in my head, those are linked. And then under that are samurai movies.
But then there's like, there's a dead zone of just like, oh, there's, you don't know what to do with.
Yeah, like JFK is next to like the Evil Dead because I don't have any other movies like either of those. Jeez.
You're weird.
What do you do about your collection?
I pay $100 a month for storage.
No. About how many long boxes do you have?
Over 30.
Do you get rid of them?
No.
Would you?
Yes.
Why don't you? Why don't you?
If I had the time to go through them and then decide I don't really need this anymore, I have this in trade. Yeah.
It's like a loveless marriage.
Yes.
Like he just keeps showing up every day and doesn't want.
Yeah. If I had no job, I'd totally get rid of them.
Give it time.
Or a raging drug habit.
Yeah, his comics could supply like 2 days worth of fix.
Well, a nickel pop, yeah.
And I used to have a storage unit, but I recently moved them out of my storage unit into my house, and now they're everywhere.
I'm sorry, who did?
I did.
You, oh, did.
You guys? They helped me. They helped me carry. But I too also have over 30 long boxes. Hey, Vito's here.
Hey.
But I've got over 30 long boxes, and they're everywhere now.
So. Vito, do you have a question?
We're taking questions.
Did you guys miss me?
Yes.
Yeah. You overslept. I can hear it in your voice.
All right. Our next email comes from David from Boxford, Massachusetts. Do you want to do that one?
Yes.
That makes me read. You can't do it.
I'm good with the witty rejoinder, yet not so much with the text accent. Reading. Oh, because it's from Massachusetts.
Yeah. Do it in the Maine.
This is a Maine accent, which is not the same as Massachusetts, but I can't do Massachusetts.
Because we had a request for the Maine.
That's
accent.
True. All right. I got two questions. This is David from Boxford, Mass. First question: why is the Dark Knight Returns what did this seriously? We had a
no. That's the wrong one.
Oh, I'm reading the wrong one. That's the next one. That was a little spoiler. I gotta say quickly, I've been listening to you guys for almost a year now, and I really enjoy your show. I look forward to both your podcasts each week. Thank you. Anyway, to my question: this is supposed to be Aquaman, but it's not anymore. It's just let's do that guy. The two big comic companies, Marvel and DC. You didn't need to tell us that. Both have their devoted followers. Some people are more interested in the Marvel heroes, and some are more in DC. You guys think if there's a kind of person that prefers one or the other? If someone were to give both an honest try and they still prefer one, is it just a matter of exposure? Basically, I'm just wondering what makes a person a DC or a Marvel follower. Do you think that the choice is based off the true difference between the two companies or just chance? Thanks, David from Boxford, Mass.
Tommy!
Sully! It's so just how my family sounds. It's like his family's like Spawn. It's the same. I'm sorry!
Is that a Goodfellas reference?
Yeah. Karen, why did you do that? That was all we had!
Janice Rossi is a whore! I love that scene.
Now that I'm going to see my life, it's like
every day. Every day.
Every day.
So Marvel versus DC. So what? So Connor's a DC guy. I'm a Marvel guy. Josh isn't.
I would skew more Marvel.
You were a Marvel guy growing up.
Yep.
Yeah.
So why is that?
Yeah, but I got that, so I don't know what that's about. I don't know. I think it's whatever you like.
You're going to disagree, but I'm going to liken it to, and Connor will relate, and other baseball fans will relate. But for example,
I think it's an IQ level.
I liken it to.
So you're saying you're stupider?
To make my point,
yes.
I'm Marvel, Connor's DC.
Right.
I like the Mets, Connor likes the Yankees. I grew up, you know, on Long Island. My dad was a Met fan. You know, I don't know. You're born with it. You know, like for some reason, my first comic was my early first comic was like a Spider-Man comic. Oddly enough, in French with the guy on the skateboard, Rocket Racer.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And I read the
Mon Dieu, Olly Kickflip.
But and I just for some reason I was gravitated towards Marvel. I was never interested in DC until college, until the late 90s.
It's probably an early exposure thing. I mean, I imagine my DC stuff comes from watching the old Batman shows on reruns.
I watched those too, and I never felt the desire to go to the comics.
Again, there was the IQ difference.
Right, I'm stupid.
No, I don't know.
We're gonna have you two take the test and post it next week. Ron Smarter. It says it right here on paper. Damn it.
I don't know. I mean, there's a...
Yeah.
Why does somebody like... I have an answer.
What's your answer?
Ooh.
This should be good.
You know what's funny is that growing up, when I first got interested in comics was around the time of the
of the Secret Wars action figures yes. and the other action figures.
What superpowers. Are
the, superpowers.
With the stars?
Yeah.
On and, the oh, I remember the cards.
And always, always more aware
the
of
Lex armor.
Of the mm-hmm. Superman, Batman stuff growing up because they were more everywhere. But for some reason, I was always more intrigued by the Marvel characters because they were more specific. Whereas Superman and Batman were sort of big and archetypal. Right. Like, I always felt that, like, the little niches that the Marvel characters occupied were more interesting to me. And when I first started looking out for comics, the first things that I really remember were picking up, like, Fantastic Four stuff and Avengers stuff. They would have a lot of characters with little things, and they actually played out more like, what's
a
the
universe?
Word? No, like a like an ensemble cast.
Yeah.
And even, like, as a kid, I liked that as opposed to... like the Superman story. I've never, ever been interested in that. And I thought that the way that the Marvel Universe, for me at least at that time, was all interconnected, those kind of stories were more interesting to me because I loved reading something and it would say, see this book and right. go to see this other thing. And I just didn't experience that with DC as much. I felt those...
Are you answering the question?
Yeah, that's why I
no,
gravitated
No, not you. That's not why people. Like, is there a Marvel person?
I don't know what everybody else thinks.
Vito.
There's you gotta...
Oh. Come to the mic. Up here.
It's right here.
Sorry. If you got here on time, you'd know.
Well, yeah, sure. Well, the question that's kind of a follow-up question to that is, like, which books were you given first, and which was your first bought book? Because, like, for me, like, I was given Batman and The Flash growing up, and, you know, kind of like Connor, like the TV show
yeah.
is really, and my dad and I, you know, used to just kind of fool around and just go, well, Batman, we're going to the toy store or something, you know, something like that. But my first bought comic was, I think, Dave Cockrum's Return to the X-Men, right around the Binary era, yep. because the X-Men showed up on Spider-Man and its Amazing Friends. So throughout the 80s, well, you know, I was born in 73, so like throughout the 70s, I was more of a DC guy. Throughout the 80s, I was more of a Marvel guy because, you know, they did, because that cartoon, I guess. But I consider myself more of a DC guy now. I mean, other than the obvious, but, you know, like I have that, you know, and but you know, I think
for the record, he showed a tattoo in reference to my earlier showing a tattoo.
Is this like a court reporter?
Yeah,
let the record show. But you know, I just think that, you know, I think your own personal choices play into it sometimes, rather than what like you're saying, your dad was a Met fan.
Yeah,
my dad was a Yankee fan, but I'm a Met fan. You know?
You see, sometimes that it depends.
And he never loved me.
It depends on the dynamic. I mean, I've known people who got into Marvel because their dad was really big into DC.
Yeah,
and to piss them off. I know people have done that.
Yeah, I know people that are weird Republican yeah. because their families were Democrats.
Yeah, exactly. Or like, I'm horrified that my kids are going to grow up listening to like hip hop and like or like classic rock and be like, no, listen to this punk stuff. It's pretty good.
Yeah.
But yeah, so it's going to be a weird dynamic.
But I mean, like, so like with you guys, like, what was the first one you bought as opposed to the first one you received? Like, right. your first exposure to comics, like, which... Because that might actually say a little bit more in
that's
answering,
a good, that's a good
answering that question.
Yeah, I mean, I remember the first stuff I bought going in was Amazing Spider-Man by Michelini and Todd McFarlane. It was, like, around 315, 314. I remember I went back and bought a bunch of these. I remember which was my first one. But, you know, like, that was on a spinner rack in a drugstore. I had the choice to buy the DC ones, but I didn't. Right. I bought that. I bought Wolverine number one by Claremont and Buscema. And I remember early on I got that How to Draw Comics the Marvel Way. That I think that actually had a lot to do with it. But
Marvel just seemed more fun. Like DC, I had issues of DC like growing up, like that I got, and they were kind of like throwaway. But like and my story, which I've talked about ad nauseum, and I apologize for people who heard it, but it was Excalibur number 19 that somebody gave to me in home ec class, and then I ran to the stationery store in the downtown area of my hometown, and I bought that and Darkhawk number 1. And then
you bought 24 more.
And then I bought 24 more copies of Darkhawk. I'm like, this is gonna be, it's a number 1 issue. And but it just like Marvel felt like kind of the point you're saying. Marvel felt so expansive and involved, and whereas DC just felt kind of, you know, staid and boring. You
well,
know?
Especially if you came in. Especially if, like, Josh, you came in during Secret Wars, you said. Like, if you coming in...
No, I didn't come in during Secret Wars. It was after that, but it was... I remember first exposure to the characters had been through those action figures, which were awesome.
Yeah, those are great action figures.
Except for the big, dumb shield that didn't really look like Captain America's shield.
Yeah. Connor?
I don't remember because I've been buying them as long as I can remember.
Right.
My dad would take me to the store.
Tiny Connor would waddle out, hand of change.
No, it's true. My dad and I go to the store. We'd walk over to the store, and he'd buy me a couple books. And I don't remember. I mean, it's been since I was like 8. I don't remember that. It was. I mean, I can remember. It's always been Batman, though. So for whatever reason, I can't tell you why.
Right.
I hate crime.
He's tough on crime.
Let's go to the next. This is a Batman question next. This one's for Josh.
So I have to read it?
No, I'm just saying it's for you.
Because you paused and looked at me.
I'd like to emphasize.
Okay.
Ren from Columbus, he says, why is The Dark Knight Returns considered to be so great? Invariably, if you take a poll of the greatest graphic novels or trades, people will bring it up. I've read it, and while I enjoyed it, I wasn't wowed by it on the level I was when I read some of the books it is often put into company of, like Watchmen or Mouse. I don't even know if it is the best Batman book I've ever read. I'm pretty sure I'd side with The Long Halloween over Dark Knight Returns. So what makes it so highly considered?
And this is for me because
you take this very personally.
Well, here's the thing. I'm rereading this right now. I haven't read it for a little while, and I'm rereading it now. It's so good.
This actually came up on our forums. Somebody asked almost this exact same thing and said it wasn't very good, and that started this like crazy argument because this apparently a lot of people don't think it's a very good graphic novel, and I'm stunned.
He wouldn't even go into the thread. Because yeah. he didn't want to say something he might regret. I don't. You know what? I would almost agree that I don't think it's the best Batman story, but it's a better work of art. Reading through it now, I'm stunned by how good it is on several levels. On the level of craft, the page layouts, the pacing, the structure, are amazing. Like I look at those pages and I think, as the little bits of me that are aspiring writers, I can never think of putting pages together like that. They're awesome.
Kind of the approach. I read it for the first time in college, and it was one of the first kind of comics mind blowing experiences.
Yeah.
I was like, oh, I didn't know you could do that in comics. Mm-hmm. You know, and like I think that's the kind of approach that it does.
It's known, you know, he's a writer artist, but like the writing in it. There are pages. There's a page where Superman is talking to the president, which is who is ostensibly Reagan.
He is Reagan.
Okay, and you don't see. I'm not too far into it. My reread. I'm like at the end of the first chapter. And is there? You're moving. They don't show anybody. They just show an American flag in those tiny little panels, and it sort of slowly reverts into the Superman symbol. The dialogue is so strong, and it says so much about those two characters and their react. And then there's little vignettes that sort of say the culture of the world that they live in at the time, and it's a hyper realistic version of the way that he saw the 80s politically at that time. And I can sort of see why, if you haven't been reading comics for a really long time, or you're not familiar with that time period or something, you might not see what's going on. But like, to me, like that's just so beautiful. The art, to me, I think this is the best work that Miller's ever done, artistically. The extension of maybe 300 for me.
I think it was the beginning of it, because if you look at his old Daredevil stuff mm-hmm. and stuff like that, while it still had that feeling of it had the beginnings of the early Frank Miller, it was fairly standard fare. It was mm-hmm. standard comics, you know, like that kind of thing. And it was the kind of the breakout of what is now become what we expect from him in Sin City and stuff like that.
And earlier we were talking about
Josh, I talk about it at work a lot because.
Because you don't do any work, apparently.
I try to.
I keep coming in there and going, well, what about this? The way he predicted the way that news would go, the punditry, didn't exist in the 80s, but now is all the news.
Like
is.
The talking head thing he foresaw. Yeah. You know, amazing. We were talking about Klaus Janson earlier. The Klaus Janson on this is amazing. Yeah. Furthermore, Lynn Varley, the colors on that book they're awesome. I don't have any other words for it because like when I read it, I'm just like, my God, that's good. And then the last thing about it is that a lot of comic books have followed this afterwards, so it doesn't seem so original, but this was like the first thing to take Batman and go, this is what it would be like in the real world, and this is the kind of thing that would happen, and this is how kind of screwed up the dude is and the world is, and deal with it. And everything has come after that, so it almost feels rote, but it was the original. Like, I've seen the first television appearance of the Sex Pistols, and they look silly. They look cliched and dumb, and you're like, this isn't original. And it was, though. Right. No one had ever done it, but they've done it so much since then that going back to look at it that way, it doesn't have the same impact. But
I think it's important. I mean, has everybody here read it? I mean, is that everybody agree that it's important, or anybody not like it?
Dark Knight Strikes Again, not so much.
Yeah, that's
I am going to read through that too.
I'm going to give
it a shot.
When the Absolute version came out, I read the whole thing, and actually. It was like, oh, this is better than I thought it was when it first came out, you know, mm-hmm. but it's still not the same. It's still not as good.
Yeah. We have a related question from Geelong in Australia who says, does Batman steal the Batcave trophies from crime teams or does Bruce Wayne buy them from police officers?
That's a great question. From Australia, of all places.
I got this and I was, I don't know, blown away.
I think he takes them.
No one wants the penny.
No.
Right, yeah. No, we have to keep that big dinosaur in the evidence locker room.
See, he's a thief.
He is. Well, he's how many laws is he breaking every time? You know?
Sort of Batman the Animated Series where they talk about the police department, the Two-Face had a giant penny and they gave it to him.
So it's a trophy.
Yeah, it's a trophy.
In the 60s when he was really chummy and he came out during the daylight, that's when he got all that stuff.
Yeah.
They were official prizes.
I love the shot of them running up the stairs of the police station. It was like completely blowing the whole thing. Anyway. But
that's it.
Yeah, Australia. All right, cool. So real quickly, just paying the bills again real quickly. This episode is also brought to you by YouBuyNow.com. And YouBuyNow is a great spot if you guys are into collectibles, action figures, prop replicas, all that kind of stuff. They've got all the DC Direct, Marvel Legends, Master Replica stuff. So head over to YouBuyNow, YouBuyNow.com. Yay.
In case you haven't heard it, you could email us if you have one question or two. You could email contact@ifanboy.com. You could leave a voicemail at 888-FANBOYS.com, which is 326-2697. Because I memorized it. And you can leave us questions or comments or stocks and streets.
Yeah. And if you head over to ifanboy.com, you can check out the more in-depth discussion, kind of what we talked about here. Read what other people thought of the books that came out this week. And
go into the Dark Knight Returns thread on Rev3 and smack some sense into those people.
Yeah.
I can't go in there.
They're just stupid.
I said, I'm not going in there, Justin. That's a good idea. You shouldn't go in there. Every Wednesday on revision3.com/ifanboy or on ifanboy.com, we have our video show, which is completely different from our audio show. This week is a...
It's a big one.
Big one. It's our relationship show.
We were teasing for a long time.
We were teasing it forever. We waited for a long time to get questions sent in. We got a whole bunch of good ones. We did a special long episode. We have some special guests.
About how to deal with relationships in
the comic book reading lifestyle. So, we barely talk about comic books.
And we've got some very special hot guests. So
that sounds so much dirtier than it is.
So this Wednesday, check it out. Like around 3 p.m. Eastern Standard Time.
It's a long one.
Noon Pacific. Yes, it is a long one. So, and real quickly, I'm sure those of you in the room who listen to our show have heard this a million times, but you can head over to Frapper. Go to frapper.com/ifanboy. Stick your pin in the map.
Or go and look at other people's pins. That's also fun.
You can go to myspace.com/ifanboy, comicspace.com/ifanboy. Go to Facebook and look for us there. And verb.com/ifanboy, all the other great web places where you can find us, as well as ifanboy.com.
You could dig us on dig.com. You could leave a review in Podcast Alley or iTunes for either of the shows. We always appreciate that. Even better, if you know somebody you think would like the show, or you can tell somebody about it, or just say, put it in your signature on the web, whatever, do that for us. Thank you, please.
Yeah. And finally, just want to thank everybody here in Charlotte who came out to see us. We really appreciate it. We didn't really know what to expect, and we're glad to see so many people came out. So thank you, everybody.
Give yourself a round of applause. Yeah. Yay.
And
hi, I'm Josh, and I'm an alcoholic.
And so far, Charlotte is...
He's been...
So far, Charlotte is... This con's been a lot of fun so far.
Ron cannot deal with the courtesy of North Carolina.
Yeah, it's tough.
People are smiling at him and being nice to him. Does she like me? No, she's just being nice.
We don't look at each other in New York. You understand? So, and
I'm gonna stab that guy. He's friendly. What?
But the Heroes Con has been a lot of fun. We're looking forward to the rest of the convention. So thanks again for coming out. And that's our show. I'm Ron.
I'm Connor.
And I'm Josh. Thank you.
Yay.